Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you for joining us on another episode of Family Matters with Kenny and Kwajalein. I am Kwajalein, one of your hosts, and here I have my handsome husband.
What's going on, peoples?
Kenny.
Don't say name, baby.
Again, thank you for joining us on another episode. For those of you who are streaming on tonight, if you would like to join us, to call in and join us, please call 657-383-1571. That's 657-383-1571. If you would like to join in on the conversation, we would love to hear what you have to say. And if you all hear my kids in the background, sorry, my husband's trying to get them quiet now because they are really, really loud. Anyway, we're going to go ahead and we're going to open up the lines tonight. See who's on the line and say hello to everyone. Caller ending in 3441, are you there?
Hi, Pastor.
Caller ending in 3441. Hi.
Hello, this is Andriana.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
Good. Well, thank you for calling back in on tonight. Hope you've had a good week thus far, rather.
Yes, ma'am. We're traveling, so I have my phone on mute.
Oh, okay. Well, you guys be safe on those roads out there. And, you know, your line will be open. Your line will be open if you have anything to say.
Okay.
Lily, are you there?
Yes, ma'am.
How are you tonight?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing good. Doing good. Thank you for calling in. I hope you've had a good week thus far. Hope everything's going good with you.
If it would warm up, it'd be better.
I know. I'm ready for spring. I'm like over winter. Now, okay, it's enough.
Yes, ma'am.
Well, you know your line will be open. We look forward to hearing what you have to say on tonight.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Caller ending in 5285, are you there?
Hello, this is Tamaka.
Hey, Tomasa, how are you?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. Well, thank you for calling back in on tonight, and I hope that you're having a good week thus far as well.
I am. Thank you.
Good. Well, your line will be open, and so, you know, we look forward to hearing what you have to say as well. And we would like for you all to join in on the conversation tonight. We do not have one set topic on tonight. I decided to do something different, a little scarier and bolder, I guess. We're going to talk about current issues. So we're going to talk about the things going on. And, of course, you know, we like to – this is a safe place to, you know, express our opinions and everything. But we already know to keep it respectful and everything. But I want to talk about everything that's going on. I've been pretty quiet on social media about, you know, some of the things that's going on now, but I would like to discuss them because these things do affect us as Christians. Some things, you know, affect our families, but really as Christians, some of these things that are going on are affecting us. So I wanted to discuss them. So it's a little bold of me tonight, y'all. But
y'all go easy on my baby.
Well,
now.
Let's dive on in. So the first current issue, which I guess is kind of dying down now. It's not really as current as it was. Oh, wait a minute. Great. Pastor Michelle's on the phone. Let's bring her on in. Pastor Michelle, are you there?
Yes, ma'am.
How are you? Good. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Doing great.
Well, it's good to have you on the line tonight. I look forward to hearing what you have to say, my husband and I. So you already know
yes.
Your line is going to be open. So we
yes,
expect
ma'am.
To hear a lot from you on tonight.
Oh, okay. Yes, ma'am.
She's like, oh, okay. Kyra, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Hello, everyone.
Hi, how are you?
Hey, y'all, I'm doing good. Hanging in there. A little under the weather, but I'm okay.
Yeah, you sound like it. You sound like
yes.
You are. Well, we hope you feel better. Hope
yes,
you
we
feel
do.
Better.
Thank you.
It's good to have you back on. You know, your line will be open if you want to chime in. If not, we understand.
Thank you.
Pastor Michelle, what were you about to say?
I'm not sure. I don't even remember.
Oh, okay. Well, look, yeah, okay, so I was just saying that we don't have a set topic for tonight. We're going to talk about current issues. That's really bold of me, isn't it?
Oh, yes, ma'am. Very bold.
Oh, my. Oh, my gosh. Mm-mm-mm.
Y'all
got
what?
Oh, Lord.
Yeah.
And just because I may say something, might not. That doesn't mean it's necessarily what I feel. Okay.
We're just gonna have a conversation tonight.
All right.
So we were just about to dive on in. So I want everybody to dive into these conversations because seriously, the things that are going on, you know, really are affecting us as a Christian community. So I wanted to talk about them. You know, I've been pretty quiet about some things. So I just, you know, want to talk about them, and we already know, you know, we're all grown. So, you know, we're all saved. So, you know, we can have these conversations. So the first not-so-current topic that I wanted to bring up that's kind of dying down now is the situation with Kim Burrell.
Oh, yeah.
Now, we all know
that
there's a video circulating where she was preaching to her ministry. She was preaching at her church to her members. And it just I don't know, just baffles me. But the only part that I've seen circulating is the part where she was talking about homosexuality within the church. There have been a lot of dialogue going on social media, on the radio station, just, you know, in the Christian community, outside of the Christian community, there's been a lot of dialogue going on. Some who are supporting her, you know, who are saying, hey, we need to get back to this hardcore preaching. She's telling it like it is. What she's saying is Bible. She's telling the truth. Then we have those who are in the middle who's just like, yes, yeah, the truth. But, you know, she said it kind of harsh. She didn't have to say it so hard. And then there's the one, you know, then there are the ones who just like, you know, what you guys are talking about is outdated. We all God's children. God love everybody. And you all need to get with the program. So, you know, and, you know, the group, that we have, well, you know, y'all Christians so judgmental, don't get mad at me because you sin differently than me. You know, we hear that all the time. Y'all know we hear that.
I can't stand it.
You know, so it's a lot of dialogue going on. But I really want to focus on how we as a church are handling this, because I've been just kind of disturbed, you know, not kind of. I've been disturbed. I'm not going to say kind of, but, you know, I've been disturbed just about how this has divided us as, I guess, as a Christian community, which, you know, we're human, so we all are entitled to have our own views on things. I guess what we have to understand or should talk about is, where do we draw the line here? You know, where is there a line that should be drawn when it comes to, you know, when we're preaching on the things concerning the Bible? Do we as a church, do we make homosexuality bigger than everything else, like a lot of people say? Because we hear that a lot, that we badger homosexuals in the church more than we, you know, do anyone else. Anyone else can feel comfortable coming and sitting in church, you know, if you're an adulterer, a fornicator, you know, anything else, and you can feel comfortable. Oh, we're okay with it, you know. But when it comes to homosexuals, then, you know, we're bringing down the hammer. So these are the things that I hear. I even had a pastor to reach out to me, a very dear friend of mine, and she was, this was really on her heart. And so she reached out to me because, you know, she feels that we as the black church, because that's what a lot of people are saying, you know, is most of the thing, you know, in the black churches, that we make homosexuality bigger than everything else, you know. And so that's what she was saying. She was bothered by the way Pastor Kim Burrell, she was bothered by the way she said the message, not necessarily the fact of what she said. So the lines are open. You guys chime on in. What are you guys thinking?
Oh, my.
Get out of class.
Well.
Okay. Okay, I heard somebody say, well, go ahead.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Okay, my phone is going out. I'll take the first round. When I heard the message, she did, I had to play it quite a few times because I thought she sounded rather angry myself. But after knowing further the situation, knowing that this is something that she's been praying about concerning her family, I can understand. She wasn't upset with people being gay. She was upset that we are allowing it to exist. I'll put a couple of posts on there, and I may get one or two likes, and I have all these saved Christian people on here that know the word, live by the word, and everybody is afraid to say something.
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't understand that, because I know that if we are, the Bible tells us that we should not be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power unto salvation. And so if you're just judging from that part, and we're supposed to stand with her as being part of the body, where are the people that are standing? I see people that are like us. Nobody really knows us. We know each other. But where's her support that's in the gospel community that support that should be supporting her? Because the word is truth all by itself.
Man.
She did not do anything against LGBT. She said, in this ministry, in my church,
Wow.
But because God was talking about that this is coming anyway, it has divided. It has caused a ripple. As a matter of fact, it was dying down. Today it started back up all over again. And so yes, ma'am, I'll let you read some stuff. And so this is where we're at. It's like you are actually seeing the true body of Christ versus the people that claim to be the body of Christ, but they're standing, they're trying to cover their, it's like they're throwing the rock and cover their hand and hide their hand. They don't want to say what the word says. Even I just seen Shirley Caesar. She said something, then all of a sudden she took it back. And I'm like, well, what is it?
Yeah.
But we have to remember that the word is truth all by itself. So we're actually looking at history being made is what I think it is. I know it is because the word is talking about this, about the false Christ and the false prophet and the people that are arising. So all these people they're just splitting. You got people, pastors, gospel singers that are just saying pretty much that she was wrong. Where was she wrong? Please tell me where she was wrong in saying that God is not going to deal with that. And then the second part of your question, do the black churches focus on homosexuality? Well, the black churches, to me, are the churches that's out there, and they're the one that's flaunting the flamboyantness out there like that. And if you want to break it down in race, I don't see Joe Osteen and his people jumping up there doing stuff like we allow in the black churches as far as the homosexuals is concerned. I don't see that. So, but that's just my opinion. I'm going to leave it there.
That's true. I read something that a lady that used to go to church with us, she wrote on her Facebook yesterday, and she said, the truth is the truth regardless of how it's said. And so although some people may be having issues with the way she said it, it still doesn't change the fact that it's the truth, you know.
Amen.
So I thought that really caught my attention. And you're right, Pastor Michelle. We do see it flaunted more in the black churches. And I know at one point Pastor Dewey Smith, I don't know how many of you know him, but Dewey E. Smith.
Yeah.
He had a message, and I heard part of the message, and he was just talking about how we in the black churches, you know, we will use people that are homosexuals. We'll use them for, you know, in the choir, and we use them on the organ. You know, we use them pretty much when we get ready at our advantage, and then, you know, we'll come back and you know, try to beat them down. So I've heard him say that. So you're right. I don't really see it as much, you know, in the the white churches, which is how it's all being classified, even though we know that we're all the church, but this is what you hear a lot of, you know, the black churches.
Amen.
So, okay. Anybody else? Anybody else want to chime in on it?
Quasiman, I do. This is Kyra. About what you said about, you know, what Pastor Dewey Smith said about what he said about, you know, how we use, you know, these men and women who are gay, living this lifestyle, and we use them in the church, and we use them for this, for this and that. Someone made a comment. It was probably one of the articles I had read, and someone said, how dare Kim Burrell say these things with how dare she say these things with all that the gay community contributes to the black church. And that hit me because I was like, just like what Pastor Dewey Smith said, that's true. And I'm not saying I agree with what the president's saying. What I'm saying is if we really look at the truth, Pastor Smith, he was saying the truth, because a lot of churches, if he can direct a choir, everybody knows brother so-and-so is gay. Everybody know. And I'm not saying, you know what I'm saying? I'm not saying that, you know, oh, everybody should be whatever, sat down. But what I'm saying is they are, the black church has always done this. They have always used them. And I'm like, well, okay. You know, I got angry when I read the comment when it said all that the I was like the gay community has contributed what? You know, I was so but then I was like, you know what? Yeah, directing a choir, you know, playing musical instrument, you know what I'm saying, singing. You know what I'm saying? All of these things that we know. Now, at my church, I have a 15-year-old girl. She got pregnant. And, she goes to our church. She got to sit down. Pastor, bishop, them, they don't sat her down. Like, she can't dance right now. Her baby's only 2 months old. But she can't dance. She can't do any of that until she sits down with bishop and pastor and her parents. And they talk and they, you know, about her lifestyle, you know, her choices. You know what I'm saying? Or whatever, because it's not like she didn't know. She knows. She knows the way. But what I'm saying is, you know, she was pregnant. You can see what she had done with the gay community. And they, you know, the guys, you know, they going around and, you know, with the hair and they, you know, they twisting and all that. We can see that. And I think what the issue is, like one of my cousins said, well, what about the stuff that's hidden? Fornication, adultery, a lying spirit, you know what I'm saying, manipulation. So that's, you know, that's where people are, a lot of people are having an issue. You know what I'm saying? A lot of people don't talk like Kimberell. I hardly hear that. I hear it at my church, that kind of preaching, you know what I'm saying, or whatever. But, you know, it's said in love, but then it's hard. If you're gay and you're in my church, it's the straight up 100% gospel. And you ain't going to like it, but you make it delivered. You know what I'm saying? Because of that, you know, the unadulterated, you know, word of God. So I guess my point is if we look at it from what they are saying, that there's some truth there. And until the church does really say, you know what, we have been using them. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You know, how do we handle this? What do we do? You know, instead of saying, you know, whatever. Because I agree with what Kimberell said all day. You know, as far as, you know, what she said, how she said it, whatever. You know, but what she said, yeah. But everybody's backing up because people don't want other people not to like them. We don't want to offend anybody. The church has gotten real soft in a lot of ways. We don't want anybody to unfriend us. We don't want anybody to take what we said the wrong way. We have gotten sensitive. We have gotten soft. We're all inclusion. This thing, no. The Word of God says that everybody is not a child of God. He is our Creator. Those who believe in God are children of God. Everybody is not a child of God. But see, we say, a lot of believers say it because it makes everybody feel good. But we are coming into a time, we are already in a time where it is going to be time you better say what thus says the Lord. If you try and patty cake it or smooth it or put icing on it, the Lord will deal with you heavily. It's time out for the church to pray. Kimberell has opened up a can of worms, but William Murphy, he actually started a prayer ministry type thing for her. He's the only one that I know that has stood up in the gospel community at his church. He has gotten hundreds of people together just to lift her up in prayer for, you know, to help her back at what she said.
Mm-hmm.
That's ministry.
It is. And I guess my thing is, and Kenny, you had something to say, right? The thing that hurts me with all of this is, okay, even if she said it, because, you know, I could, you know, see it coming out kind of harsh, because to me, when I heard, went back and heard, I was like, yeah, that was harsh. But the word is the word.
Right.
You know, it is what it is.
Right.
And just to say this, anybody that knows me personally, I cannot stand the statement that we are all God's children. That is one of biggest lies and deceptions that the enemy uses.
Yes,
I can't stand it. And we do, as the people of God, we take on these sayings and these. And what did you say the other day, baby? You said I forgot how you worded it. I can't even try to repeat it when you were talking about the sayings that we just live off of now. These cliches.
Cliches.
When you were talking about how you remember saying that at the last show? And So we take these cliches and we just pass them down from generation to generation.
Yep.
You know, we just go on. Half of the stuff ain't even in the Bible, but because
Grandma said it, Mom said it, Deacon
Johnny said it, then it's got to be true. No, it's not.
No, it's not. That's right.
It's not
Preach.
True. Once saved, always saved. No, that's not true.
That is not true.
But you have pastors that will stand up in the pulpit and will argue you down. Well, Jesus came and died on the cross, so once saved, always. That is not true. And all these people, we're leading people to hell by not telling the truth. So we need to tell the truth. But, you know, back to Pastor Kim Burrell. One of the things that's really bothering me, okay, yeah, like I said, I thought she said it pretty harsh too. However, where is the mercy? Where is the grace? Where is the love that the people of God are supposed to be showing? So we're telling her that you're supposed to be showing love or staying in love, which, you know, yes, but where's the love that she's supposed to receive?
That's right.
You know, where is it? Then I know, Pastor Michelle, you brought up Pastor Shirley Caesar. What I heard her say, I don't know if she said something else, but what I heard was in no way, shape, or form backing Pastor Burrell. Unless she said something I didn't hear.
No. She was not backing Pastor Burrell.
Yeah, I didn't hear that. The only person I heard was Tasha Page Lockhart. She's the only one.
Oh,
she was in tears. She was in tears. Wow. Like, where are the people that we've looked up to? You know, and so in the church, how is this affecting the church? How is this affecting our children that are looking at us? Because our children are watching us. They're watching this.
Unfold
in so many different ways. There's so many different things that they're watching here. Okay. My baby has something to say. Go ahead, baby.
Good evening, everybody.
Hello.
Yeah.
All right. So I'm going to comment on the topic simply in the matter of what's going on or what has been going on or what has transpired with Pastor Kim Burrell. Now, granted, she is a woman of God, right?
Yeah.
And everybody knows that. She's a devout Christian. She's been saved for quite some time now. And she has brothers and sisters in Christ. But here's what I want to talk about, okay? I want to talk about the fact of the Bible bringing in three words that we know near and dear, and we see all the time in the Bible. We see neighbor, we see brethren, we see brother, right?
Yeah.
When we see this, there are people that are out there teaching this thing the wrong way. When the Bible says, let those, according to Psalms 97:10, it said, let those who love the Lord hate evil, for he guards the lives of his faithful ones and delivers them from the hand of the wicked.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
She's standing up for righteousness' sake.
Yeah.
Yet she has brothers and sisters, or if we use the plural version of that, brethren of the gospel, brethren of Christ, that will not stand up for righteousness' sake for her because they are being people pleasers instead of being God pleasers. God had us just like he had his disciples. Just like Jesus had his disciples with him. And hear me when I say, thank you, Holy Spirit. When Jesus had his disciples following him to and fro throughout the lands, right?
Mm-hmm.
He had them following him because they were doing two things. But we got to look at this in the natural sense and the spiritual sense.
That's right.
They were protecting Jesus, the man in the flesh. They were protecting Jesus, but at the same time, they were protecting the Word because the Bible says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. They were protecting the Word, and they were protecting God.
Amen. Wow.
But yet, ain't nobody standing up for righteousness' sake. God. They ain't standing up for God. They ain't standing up for him. So if you look at that thing in the spiritual sense and the natural sense, We should be standing up for God's word. And we should not only be standing up for God's word, but we should be standing up for God's creation. Our sister in Christ, Kim Burrell, because she stood up for righteousness' sake. Now, there's a right and a wrong way to say things, but y'all know that when we have issues within our family, you're going to always have that one family member that starts drama. But guess what? We still what? Family.
Yeah, that's right.
Right? Now, granted, she's still family. But everybody's trying to be people pleasers, and they trying to protect and not step on folks' toes. Well, quit wearing open-toe shoes to a fight. Because when we're in a spiritual battle, you can't afford to wear open-toe shoes. You wear boots. Come on now.
My God.
You put on boots. When you go on a war spiritually, you go on a war girded up in the word of the Lord. Am I right or wrong?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Okay, so now, okay, the next scripture I have, okay, is in 1 John. And let me get there. Let me get there, Jesus. All right. 1 John chapter 2, verse 9. I'm going to start at verse 9. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now.
Wow.
Mm. But he that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him.
Yeah.
Notice what it said, right? It said, verse 9 again, he that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother. Brother, see, we got this thing all mixed up.
Mm-hmm.
We got people that don't even believe in God, but yet people want them to call him, you want me to call you my brother or my sister. No, you ain't my brother or sister in Christ.
That's right.
You ain't my brother and sister in Christ. Because when the Bible's talking about brethren or brother, it's talking about your Christian brother and sister. When the Bible says talking about neighbor, it's talking about our neighbors, because y'all know you can go outside the door, you can go left, right. You might stay next door to an atheist. You might stay next door to a devil worship. You might stay next door to somebody who's just a radical for Christ. Those are neighbors.
Make it plain.
Those are neighbors. But your brethren, your brothers and sisters that you're supposed to be guarding and protecting, you're supposed to be loving, those are the ones you're supposed to be protecting. Now, I ain't saying you ain't supposed to go out there and protect those that can't defend themselves, because the word of God tells us that we ought to love our neighbor as we ought to love our neighbor, right? Okay, so loving our neighbor means, that basically just means us having compassion and mercy upon this person, even if they don't believe, even if they treat you like dirt every day.
That's right.
You still got to love him, right? Because when Jesus got spat on, what did he say when he was dying on the cross? Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they did. He was going to the throne of grace. He was going to the Father on the behalf of people that were slaying him, killing him.
Yeah.
But yet, our sisters out here suffering, and hey, the kingdom suffered violence, but the violence take it by force. We need to be out here preaching this word. Not only do we need to be preaching the word, but we need to also make sure that we're doing it in love. Now, I got a lot of people that I work around that live all different sorts of life, but they know I proclaim and profess the faith faithfully, according to Romans 1:16. So they better not get it twisted, because I tell them quick, hey, look, there are two parts of this thing, really three, but there are two parts of this thing that you right now could be dealing with. That's the flesh, and that's the spirit.
Come on.
Now, the spirit man says love you. But the flesh ain't punching your nose if you get wrong with it.
Well.
So we ain't going to do what the flesh want us to do. Y'all get
you don't
want to
do
y'all
it. Well, man.
But 1 John 2:11 says, but he that hateth, okay, I read that already. And then let's just move on down to verse 15 and 16. Verse 15 of 1 John 2 says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Say that again. The love of the Father is not in him. Wait a minute. They ain't hear me. The love of the Father is not in him. So how can you love somebody if the love of the Father ain't in you? Because God is unconditional. He's agape. Right?
Yeah.
16 says, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the lust of and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away and lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. My God. So she's suffering right now, right, for righteousness' sake, though. But what the word says
that's
about her
right.
suffering for righteousness' sake, there will also reign in righteousness with him.
That's
so she going through this thing only for a brief moment. Only for a brief
that's
moment.
Right.
But we know our brethren, our sister in Christ, she's coming up out of this thing. She's coming
that's
up
right.
out of this thing. She might be a little dusty, but we're going to dust her off and we're going to keep it moving. Amen?
That's right. Amen.
And then my last scripture. I'm sorry, y'all. I had to go on ahead and pipe up the net real quick because I got a little entertained about this. I got a little aggravated about this thing because I'm tired of seeing our Christians and brothers and sisters, our brothers and sisters in Christ, getting beat up, beat down, scorned, bruised, right?
Yeah.
And ain't nobody, and there ain't many people out there defending them.
That's
and
right.
y'all know the family, hey, according to the old traditional family, one fight we all fight.
That's right.
One fight we all fight.
That's right.
All right, so, and my last scripture that I'm going to talk about, and I gotta open, give up the line because y'all know I'll talk. All right. we have the scripture where the sin comes without, the gift comes without repentance, right? So God blesses us with these gifts, okay?
Mm-hmm.
He blesses us with these gifts, and it comes without repentance. And when he gives us these gifts, he gives the gifts to everybody. He blesses, every creation that he made has a special gift. All the way down. So you think about this thing, right? And we're gonna break down the animal kingdom. We're gonna break down just the kingdom of life. We're talking from the animals, the insects, all the way up to humans, which is considered the most elite and most intelligent species, which is why we're at the top of the food chain. We know the fire ant. The fire ant has a purpose and job, but that fire ant's special gift is to do what? Attack. It's protect that queen, but it attack, and when it bite, it sting. Spiders, snakes, they have important jobs, right?
That's right.
But they have a special gift. Now, you break that on down and you come on up to the humans, right? God has given every human, every piece of his creation that he created, a gift. And it comes without repentance.
Yeah.
But see, what we have done is we find somebody, you know, that's not living a life, not proclaiming the faith, but they really good and they can tickle the ivory, if you will. They can tickle that ivory real good. Or they know how to play that doggone organ like nobody's business. Right?
Right.
And then you use them for their gift. You're basically pimping them for their gift. But when it comes time talk about the sin, I don't want to step on nobody's toes, you know, because we need him. He be bringing people in, Sunday out. We need him.
Right.
Well, you know, he can preach. Not preach, but he can direct that choir. He had that choir on cue every Sunday.
Yeah.
And they're bringing people up.
Yeah.
It's bringing people up to the altar to get saved. And with them getting saved, there's more money coming in for our tithes and offerings.
Come on.
We got to talk about how they're living. If you ain't living how you're supposed to live, then we are here to make sure we're separating good from evil so you know the difference. So that way you have no doubt in your mind because the Bible says that when he comes back, every man would have had the opportunity to know about him.
That's right.
So we definitely need to be in prayer about our sister, and that's all I got.
Yes,
sister. Right.
Amen.
Amen.
Y'all know I get excited when he starts talking like that. Man, you did good.
All right, now wait a minute.
Hey, my pastor. How you doing?
How you doing? Good.
I'm
how are you?
Blessed. I'm blessed.
Good. Well, your line is open, so jump on in there when you're ready. And before
I
just want to say this. One thing that we have to remember is that when we love someone, we're going to tell them the truth. We all have to be accountability partners for each other because we're all living in this flesh. We all deal with things. And so, you know, I thank God for those of you who are, you know, accountable to me. who, you know, tell me. You know, Michelle had to get me a few times. You know, one time when I put stuff on Facebook, she had to get me. She had to get me and tell me I was wrong. But, you know, I thank God for that. I do. Because we are accountability partners for each other. And if you really love me, don't just watch me falling in a ditch and don't tell me.
Right.
Help me get my soul in heaven. Because I only have one soul. One.
Mm-hmm.
I got one chance. One chance. And once my heart stops and my spirit leaves this body and goes back to God, that's it. So don't take my soul lightly, and I won't take yours lightly.
No.
And that's what we are doing. That we are taking people's souls lightly.
Oof, my God.
And I'm talking about anything. I'm not just talking about homosexuality. I'm talking about anything because we struggle with a whole lot of things. You know, things like pride get a whole lot of us, and we'll never talk about that.
Come
you know,
on.
It's rare.
That's
getting a lot of us. You know,
that's right.
But, I'm going to back up a minute. Does anybody have anything to say? Because I do have one other point I want to make, but I want to see if anybody else has anything to say.
You know, I wanted to say something. At some point in time, I mean, there's so much going on within all churches. No church is completely clean.
Yeah.
If it was, what is the pastor preaching about? Who are they preaching to? And this Sunday was just that Sunday for that subject. And there are going to be things that are going on within a church. And there's so many people who keep saying, okay, well, why are the churches so hard on homosexuality? Because it's this time to clean up that sin. I mean, God is presenting this chance to them to clean that up. If people never talk about it, then they won't have that opportunity to get that right. And a lot of people are like, okay, well, it's always being talked about. But at some point in time, it has to be cleaned up. But usually people are complaining because it's something that they're dealing with or a close family member is dealing with. So now I'm mad because you didn't hit on me or you hit on my mama and her sin and it made her feel bad. And that's usually what it is. But every sin, I am so sorry, my dog is crazy tonight. But every sin is hit on. And when they talk about you sleeping with that person's husband, you know, usually people are mad about that too, but they don't vocalize it as much because then if I stand up and say, "Ooh, I'm so mad she talked about that," then it really comes out that I was sleeping with that man. So one thing about you being gay or your brother being gay or your sister being gay, it's usually known by people because it shows. You ain't keeping that secret. But a lot of other things are secret. So when you hit on it as a pastor, I can still keep that secret because I ain't going to tell everybody that, ooh, that was me. But when I'm walking around here as a man with long weave and dresses at night, well, you know what it was just hit on, and that's all it is. My opinion.
Amen.
You're right. Hey, Keto, your line is open.
Hello, everybody.
How you doing?
Hello.
How are you? Yourself?
We're doing good.
I'm late.
Oh, no, that's fine. You just in time. just in time. Lily, you are so right. But you know what? Actually, like I told my friend that contacted me, I said in the churches that my husband and I go to, actually, we hear more badgering about tithes. Like, they be beating you up like you about to just bust hell wide open by some money. Now, the churches that I haven't really experienced, not from what I can remember, being in any of the churches that we've gone to where they bashed like that when it comes to homosexuality. Now, I know the church went to Colorado. They were hard on everything. They talked about everything.
Mm-hmm.
thing. They didn't spend no, you know, no more time on one than the other. So, but that's what we get a lot of from what I've seen.
Yeah.
Okay.
True.
Anybody else have anything else to say? Me. Okay. Well, I wanted to say this, and then we can go ahead and we can also touch. I know we don't have that long, but something else I've noticed in the situation concerning Pastor Burrell and Bishop Eddie Long, it does seem to me, and this is just to me, that she has less support than he did. And it just, you know, even in his death. And so I was telling my husband yesterday, so I'm like, you know, that bothers me too, because then, you know, we're still dealing with, is that still something we're dealing with when it comes to male versus female?
Male or female.
You know, because they really have just kicked her, you know, they just kicked her to the curb. They don't just kick her out there. You know, you're on your own.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
That's what's been done to her. You know, and I'm not saying people didn't say mean things about him, but I have seen a lot of, which I agree with, don't get me wrong, a lot of, you know, don't judge, you know, statements concerning him, but I haven't seen that concerning her as much. And maybe I just haven't seen it.
Right. That's true.
So, you know.
That's true.
I don't know. But that's all I wanted to say about that. Okay. So, next current issue, and this has absolutely nothing to do with the church, y'all, but it has something to do with us. Okay. So everybody's not, okay, not everybody, I didn't mean everybody, but there are a lot of people angry with Steve Harvey, Martin Luther King III, and now you said Travis Greene?
Travis Greene.
Meeting with President-elect Donald Trump. Okay, so of course we have two sides to this story as well. Some people are saying, well, you know, Steve Harvey's, oh, my gosh, they are giving him the business, calling him all kinds of things.
Yeah.
Ooh, our black community.
Yeah.
Oof. And this is why I'm bringing this up, because this is concerning the black community, y'all. This is why I want to talk about this. They are giving
Pastor
him
not the
business.
Not to cut you off.
Go ahead.
Pastor, not to cut you off, I do apologize. But that, like, this is what upsets me about the black community. The black community came together to roast another man for trying to better everybody, but they can't come together to get their own neighborhood straight.
You better say it.
You know, they can't come together to get their own neighborhood. I just got to, well, not, I was having a conversation with a friend of mine, you know, a white guy on Facebook, and he was like, well, you know, everybody seems to be upset. I'm like, it don't make me a difference whether or not Steve Harvey went to go meet with Donald Trump. It makes me no difference, because Steve Harvey's struggle ain't my struggle. You know, he don't have to worry about, man, I'm going to get this money together to get pay this light bill. His struggle ain't my struggle. You know, like, which, but then the thing is, the piece of information that I put out there, that if, you know, these presidents, because these presidents have been blowing smoke up our butts for years about coming in and changing the neighborhood and fixing crime and all that, and nobody ever has. Because they always use their initiative. You know, they use the war on drugs and all the anti-gang initiatives and everything. But nobody ever goes and talks to that old lady that's lived in the neighborhood for 60 years to find out what she thinks they should do. Because that old lady knows that neighborhood up and down. She knows the kids, the grandkids, and the great-grandkids. Nobody ever goes and talks to her. Everybody just says, I'm going to do it my way. And then when it fails, you know what I mean, all of a sudden now just the police just stop going to them neighborhoods. And how fair is that? You know, it upsets me that as a people, you know, people can come together and talk bad about this man on the internet, but you can't come together to get the dope dealers out your neighborhood so your kids can go outside and play. You know, and it frustrates me, because that is one thing about black America, is we will talk about each other so bad
Yeah.
People talk about each other so bad.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But it's rarely that you see one of us try to uplift the next.
Right.
You know, and it is frustrating. It is so, especially like, you know, I'll be 40 next month. You know, and now, you know, I'm getting ready to push my kids out into this world. And it is frustrating seeing the state that we're in, because it seems like in all my 40 years, we ain't took two steps forward. We ain't did nothing.
No.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You're right.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It seems like we're just getting more and more divided. You know, I feel like I'm a part of some of the most divided groups. I'm like, okay, Christians, we getting divided. Blacks, we getting divided. Women, we be tearing each other down. Like, what? You know, why? Why are we doing all this? But you're right. You're right, Keto. And it's really sad, because that's what Kenny and I were talking about. You know, and I'm a comment reader, you know, for you ladies that don't know. I go on Facebook, I go on social media, and I read comments. I read comments on articles. You know, I read a lot of articles. I read comments, probably to a fault. Sometimes I be getting off and I be real. I be don't got offended. Kyra had to pray about that one night. She didn't know she was talking to me, but I had got, like, offended by social media. So there were so many people that were like, well, you know, he's reaching out to the rich black people instead of going to the inner city people or whatever. Yeah. And if I'm not mistaken, you know, Steve Harvey works with the inner city kids, right?
All day. For real.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So, and it's really sad. It's sad that we're not open to listen to each other's perspective, you know, or to say, okay, well, let's be open to why he's doing this or why they're doing that. Because the fact of the matter is, we know as Christians, we're supposed to pray for him anyway, whether we like the fact that he's not in office or not. According to the Bible, we're supposed to do that. I'm not saying that I'm all crazy about it, but, you know, he's there now. he's about to be anyway. So we're supposed to still pray for him. You know, still supposed to give him that respect. That's what we're supposed to do. We're not supposed to be ran off of how we feel about him. Mm-hmm. But this is what we're supposed to do. So we should be handling things, you know, a little different. But it's like we as just a black community, we really do, you know, have to understand that he's there. And I saw somebody, they had wrote something about, you know, people being upset and wanting the, pretty much saying they want the pilot to fail. It's like all of us being on a plane, and they just want the plane to crash. Because if the pilot fails, then the whole plane crashes, you know.
Yeah.
Dang.
You know, all of us. So it's really sad how all of these things that Steve Harvey has done, and even the same thing, this applies to Pastor Burrell as well. You know, all of the good things that she's done, and then we get that one thing that we don't like, and it's like, I have nothing else to do with you.
Yep.
We just throw you out to the dogs. You know, we're finished with you.
Yep.
And again, you know, not that this is directly related to our families, but it is directly related, because, again, our kids are watching this. They're watching how we handle these things. They're watching how we, you know, go through these hard times. I know my son is. Jeremiah is constantly asking questions. And he even told me the other day, poor thing, mom, I'm scared about Donald Trump being in office. I said, baby, President-elect Trump. You know, I told him, you know, y'all know my husband's military, so he big on that respect thing. You know, he's big on that. But it's like, and so I allow him to talk about his fears, but he's watching how we're handling it.
That's right.
You know, how are we handling this? You know, and then
that's
even that, the election has divided people. You had a lot of Christians that voted for him. Not just Caucasian Christians. You had some black Christians that voted for him.
Oh, yeah.
And that has caused division.
Yeah.
You know, so it's just a lot of division.
Harvey, I honestly believe the thing with Steve Harvey isn't actually because he met. Well, it is because he met with Donald Trump, but there's more to it than that. because during the election and everything, you know, Steve Harvey talked about this man like a dog. It's the hypocrisy. You know what I mean? And, like, everybody watches your show. Everybody hears you. Everybody sees what you got to say. You know, people follow you on all the social media stuff, so they see you talk about this man like a dog, but then it looks like you run to him when he beck and calls to you. You know what I mean? So I believe that has a lot to do with it as well. And that's why there are a lot of people that just like, man, I'm done with him.
I'm glad you brought that up, bro.
I feel some type of way about it because I was not a Trump supporter. But as Pastor Kenny, you could attest, without occupation, if he says you will come here now, I ain't got no choice but to do what that man says.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So yeah, I mean, it's a double-edged sword. You know, so I don't think it's the fact that he met with him. Because nobody's really saying nothing about Ben Carson being on his cabinet. Nobody said nothing about that because Ben Carson's been on his side the whole time. You know, nobody cares about that.
That's right.
You know, and Ben Carson's skin darker than mine.
Yeah.
But because Steve Harvey talked about that man like a dog during the election and all that other stuff, and now all of a sudden he's running to him to see what he can fix in the neighborhood. You know, it's the hypocrisy of it that people are seeing, and they're like, oh, yeah, we're done with you. And they're talking bad about it. I could be wrong.
That's a good point, and I'm glad you brought that up. And I'm glad you brought that up for this simple reason. Many of us have fallen as suspect of being one that has miscalculated or prejudged somebody before actually getting to know them. That's where the word prejudice comes from. It's you're prejudging somebody before you actually get to know them. So what happens is, right, when we're out there and we're here, our attention is drawn to a social media, word of mouth, or gossip. You know what I'm saying? If somebody says something, then you're like, you know what? That just makes sense. That's where all of this division comes from. I mean, this division has been going on since the beginning of time. One person say they don't like somebody, they ain't even got to say why they don't like the person. But if they got some kind of status and somebody say they don't like them, then you know what? I don't like them either if you don't like them. That means he did something wrong if you don't like them. I don't like them either until we get to know them. Now, what I'm saying, and then another thing I'm saying to that is that we all have come to the point of where we actually had to come back and swallow our words and come back and say, you know what? First to God first, or you do it exactly to that person, or you do it to like a friend you can confide in. Like, man, you know what?
Yeah.
I misjudged so and so, man. They ain't that bad after all. We came to that point of where our mind has been changed on that person because we actually took the time and the effort to get to understand that person and see what that person is about. Now, ultimately, Steve Harvey has said some things, and a lot of us have said some things like, man, this country going to be in shambles. But here's the thing. There's nothing none of us can do, no matter how mad we get. I didn't understand why people was going on highways trying to stop people from driving. That wasn't going to stop the man from getting in the office. You know? But my thing is, president-elect office, we just got to give a man a fair shot, whether we like him or not. Whether we like him or not, we got to give him a fair shot because he in office. We can either I got this simple equation that I always use with my soldiers. I still do. We can comply over complain, because if we reciprocate it and we complain over comply, we're gonna have problems. And his whole 4 years in term, you know, who knows? His whole 4 years, even if he get impeached, the whole time he's in office. If we just complain and complain and complain and we ain't doing nothing to make it better, then there's no use of complaining about it.
It's just going to make us more miserable, I think. But we got to pray. That's what we got to do. We just got to pray.
You know what? I don't like Trump either, but if I got the opportunity to talk with him,
I would also, because really, I want to see if this man is as dumb as he really acts. Sometimes people act a certain way just to get people's reaction. So I want to see, did you just act this way and say these things and just be this way just because you like to be that weirdo? Or are you really just dumb? You know, I would want to meet him. I want to talk to him. My opinion, I mean, and that's how I feel like what Steve Harvey and them were doing. Like, is it, let me meet this man face to face. Let me figure out, is this a show?
Wow.
I don't know about him being so dumb. He make a lot of money. So even if he's smart. Wait a minute, I'm just gotta say this. He's smart enough not to file taxes and do it legally and get away with it. I'm just
wow, smart con.
I'm so dumb. Don't pay no tax.
None.
He's gonna tell us how to do it.
Right.
Well, at this point, we can't do nothing but just wait to, you know, pray and hope for the best.
Amen.
You know, hope for the best. Well, I really did enjoy this tonight. Like I said, it was different. It was different. My cousin was like, "All right," you know. He used to go with what I say. I was like, "You think that is gonna be okay, babe?" He was like, "Okay." But I enjoyed it. I think it went well. It went well. But we'll be back on Friday with a topic. You guys, if you have any topics, please, you know, give us if you have any suggestions, please give us, you know, your topic suggestions. This is Thyroid Awareness Month. Y'all know that's one of my big things. If you do not get your thyroid stem checked,
yeah,
make sure they put them yearly. Go ahead, Keita.
Yearly.
I don't know. Well, a lot of y'all probably don't know, but I was diagnosed with Graves' disease like maybe 5 months ago. My thyroid was pumping so much go that I lost about 60 pounds.
Wow.
It wasn't just all fat neither. Like, I lost muscle. Like, I am physically weaker. You know, it messed with my appetite. It messed with my stomach, everything. And now they have me taking these crazy drugs to cause liver toxicity and everything just to get right. On that note, I wholeheartedly agree with Pastor Quadrillion. You know, when you do your annual checkups, just say something to your doctor. Check my T3 and my T4. Because the only reason why I even found out is I was at work and my heart was going crazy. I looked at my watch because I have a heart rate monitor on my watch, and they said my heart rate was 150 beats per minute.
Oh my God.
And so that kind of scared me. So I went to the clinic and they thought I was having a heart attack. Like, they hooked up the EKG machine and all that stuff. But lo and behold, my actual primary care physician had did blood work, and he knew what was wrong, but he just couldn't get a hold of me because I was on leave. And, you know, so he actually spoke to the doctor that was taking care of me. So then they're like, okay, well, now we know it's not a heart attack, but now it could be thyroid storm, where pretty much your thyroid just starts firing on all cylinders, and it can be fatal. So, yeah, by all means, when you go for your yearly checkup, get your T3 and your T4 checked, because it can happen and you don't know. You know, like, it was probably going on with me for 6 months to a year before I even really realized the physical difference. So please get yourself checked.
Yes, I was diagnosed with Graves' disease in 2003. Actually, I don't know why, but I gained weight. Even though my thyroid levels were higher, I never understood that. But I did. My husband told me my eyes started to budge a little bit. He didn't tell me until it was over with, though. But it does. It affects your whole everything. And I didn't realize how much your thyroid affects your body. And, you know, so that's why I like to share. Because I've said it on the show a few times before, but I say it again. Get your thyroid checked. Right now, I'm recovering because I did not listen to my husband. He told me to change my doctor, and I didn't. I was with a doctor that was checking my thyroids once a year. I don't have thyroids. I knew better than that. I should not have stayed with her when they were off. When she checked them the year before last, she just gave me some medication for a year, and I took it like a nut. You know, then come back, and, you know, then I said, do you need me to come back for a follow-up? And she was like, no, it should be all right. Go back the next year, and they're still high. And so I started having these problems, too, keto, having muscle twitches, the heart palpitations, sweat, nervousness, all of these things, you know, are signs that your thyroid's going to be brittle hair, you know, looser stools. It affects your whole body. My son, our son, sorry, he's 10 years old. Watch your children as well. Have them to check your children.
Yeah.
Jeremiah is 10 years old. You would think out of the three, because we adopted Jeremiah, he would be the one that would not be at risk. He's the one that has it. How I noticed with him is because his eye was twitching and his hands were shaking. Took him in, his thyroids were high. Not too long ago, he telling us he's taking his medicine, y'all. We go count his medicine. He hadn't taken it in like 2 weeks around his mouth. Mama, I'm sweating and it's embarrassing. That's part of the reason why. That was why. You know, excessive sweating, it's so much, you know, so many different things, vertigo, depression, anxiety, irritability, all of those are associated with thyroid problems, joint pain, muscle pain, like keto said, muscle wasting.
I also found out today that I don't even have the piece of paper with me, but it affects your eyes. They had this, it looks like a ruler with two mirrors on the end, and they use it to like measure how far your eyes actually stick out of
they
your
bulge
eye.
Out.
And so they, you know, the last time I went to the doctor, because I go once a month because it's all, because it's about an hour away in Topeka from where I'm at. So you know, she measured them and she said okay, and she wrote everything down. Well, I went back today and she measured them again, and she said, you know, you have Graves ophthalmology or something. I can't pronounce the word.
Yeah.
And I'm going to have to refer you to a special eye doctor. So now I have to drive pretty much an hour and a half, you know, three quarters of the way from here to Kansas City to go see an eye specialist. And it's all because the thyroid test is not, it's not a routine test. It's not something that they just do whenever you get your blood work. Because if it was, somebody would have caught this, you know, when it initially started. So, I could be, like, right now I'm sitting down in front of my television and my hands are shaking. You know, I'm not nervous, not worked up or nothing. You know, this affects your blood pressure.
It does,
you know, it affects a lot of things. You know, like, the list of symptoms is a mile and a half long. And everybody's a different. Like, I used to have... They told me it felt like what's that stuff that people who type a lot get?
Carpal tunnel. You can also have it in both hands. Yes, carpal tunnel.
Yeah, you know they would say it feels like carpal tunnel, and it would literally feel like I had my fingers were just the tips of my fingers were like in fire, getting pins and needles stuck in them. You know what I mean? So. Yeah, like Pastor said, just please get it checked. You know, just have your doctor once a year. You know, have your doctor just check it, because you won't know it until, you know, like I think the example that the lady gave me, that my doctor gave me, was say, you know, say a normal thyroid level is 0.5. Mine was over 6. Mine was like 6 point something. So I had almost 12 times the amount of levels in my body than I normally should have. And yeah, so just by all means, just get checked out.
I have a quick question.
Go ahead.
I have actually two. Because you've had your
thyroids removed, right?
I
if
have.
If you could talk to, because I know people are listening on the phone that have thyroids that are not, they're kind of removed. Could you tell the importance, how you felt after the surgery, how you're feeling, you know, once they were out, and tell the importance of taking that medication every day that you take.
Well, after I had my surgery, I say it took me about a year, I would think, about a year to really get back into the swing of things, but I really felt a lot better because I used to be really, really tired to the point where I would cry when I had to get out of bed. When my thyroid, that's another sign, you guys, fatigue. But once I had the surgery, I felt better. Now, the key is keeping my levels under control with the medicine. We have to understand, like Keto said, thyroids being off can be fatal. Your thyroid gland is just like any other organ that you have to function. You know, you have to at least have a kidney. You have to have a heart. You know, there are certain things like a gallbladder. They can remove your gallbladder and you don't have to have that. You have to have a thyroid. So if you don't have the thyroid, then you have to take the medicine. If you don't take the medicine, you will die. That's just how important it is. It affects the whole body. There's a runner, I cannot remember her name, but she almost died from Graves' disease. You know, so it's just that important, but we don't realize how important it is. It literally impacts every part of your body. So whoever it is that's listening, if you're on the medicine, take your medicine daily. Not saying that I don't skip a pill here and there, but you better know it's here and there. Because I take my thyroid medicine, I get up in the morning, I go use the bathroom, and I come out and I take my medicine. That's how it is, you know. Then I go back and brush my teeth, but I'm gonna take my thyroid medicine first. And this is what we're instilling, you know, in Jeremiah. If you, especially if you don't have one, well, even if you have one and it's not operating right, it's like, you know, you trying to run a train but a car or whatever without an engine. You can't do that. Your body is going to shut down. It will shut down. Muscles will waste. Your joints, your body will shut down. That is your, you know, those are hormones running through your body. Take your medicine. You have to. It's not even a choice. I know some people say, I used to be like that. Well, I don't like to take medicine. But guess what? I don't have a choice. It's not about what I like. I like being alive. I like being here with my husband. I like being here with my children. So I have to take my medicine.
That's right.
You know, and something else that I'm finding out is Keto, and I'm just finding this out, and I've had, you know, my thyroid's removed for years, is your diet plays such a big part in, you know, there are different, I would say, go online and do some research. You know, I've started joining little groups and things, finding out. I know some people say they've gone gluten-free. Not really doing that. But, you know, there are certain things that you can eat or, you know, certain things that we shouldn't be eating that will make us feel better. Also, when you go to your doctor, get your results. Get your own number. Get your numbers. Don't go by, they're good. Don't go by that.
Right. That's right.
I'm learning that now.
Yes.
Get your results. You get your own numbers, because the thing is, they may say, oh, well, your numbers are, you know, are good. But what may make me feel my best may not be what makes Keto feel his best. So his numbers may be okay. His T3, you know, may be okay at a certain level, whereas if I'm at that level, I still feel like my stuff is off. My, you know what I'm saying? Maybe mine may be a little higher. You know what I'm saying? You guys following what I'm saying? So you have to find out what level makes you feel better, because they are just looking at the numbers. And I found that some doctors, if they haven't dealt with it, they don't really even, they just look at, you know, numbers. They're not really into it like
that's
that. But I started doing my own research since I've started having these issues. I'm telling you, my body you know, my body has gone through. For those of you who are close to me, y'all know what I've been going through these last few months. And, mm-hmm. I mean, it was scary waking up in the middle of the night and your heart racing. You know, it's just, you know, like Kita was saying, the heart beating all fast and stuff. So it's just finding out, again, you know, your level, different diets and different, you know, what the food and supplements that mm-hmm. you should take, you shouldn't take, because they don't tell you all that stuff. They don't tell
that's
you that.
Right. Yep, that's right.
You know, we have to go out and find out ourselves. So that's why, you know, I'm mentioning it now. I'm going to mention it again. So, you know, if you guys, y'all going to hear this, y'all going to hear the spill again. Because I really want people to understand how important it is. People die from thyroid problems. There's a story I posted on my page a week ago or maybe the week before. This young lady, she was 20-something years old. She was doing a Facebook mm-hmm. Live. And she mm-hmm. dropped dead on Facebook Live, had a heart attack. And her parents her mother said that she had thyroid issues.
Oh, no.
And it will cause heart failure.
Mm-mm-mm.
So,
oh, my God.
You guys, again, you know, before we go, get your thyroid checked and watch your children, you know. It doesn't right. hurt to get theirs checked when they go to their yearly physical.
Check-up.
This is
yeah.
what I've started
mm-hmm.
doing. I ask them to do a panel because they won't do it. They'll just look at them,
that's
you know,
right.
oh, bend over, do that. No, run blood work on my children.
That's right.
Give them the same panel that you give me, and then they'll try to tell mm-hmm. you, well, we'll just do that every 5 years. No, I want mine every year. Every year,
yeah.
for those of us, y'all know that we have the insurance that'll cover it.
That's
get
right.
a panel, you know, that metabolic panel ran on your children.
Mm.
Because we have children that are coming up with all types of things. Get a metabolic panel ran on your children at least once a year. And that'll
Man.
Check their liver function, kidney function, and they'll tell you, well, they're too young to have all this stuff. Don't listen to all of that, because we see
That's
every
right.
day children are coming up with these issues.
Yeah.
And if you guys don't get them, again, you get them. A metabolic panel, your liver function, kidney, you know, sugar levels,
mm-hmm.
get that stuff checked every year, and your thyroid levels should be included in that.
That's right.
And I don't have anything else to say because y'all know that's my passion. I keep on talking. I be done went on and on and on about that.
Thank you, love.
Yeah.
One last little caveat that it is hereditary. So if there's somebody in your family that has it, there's a chance you could pass it on. Just
mm-hmm.
one last caveat.
Yeah, that's right. And babies, you know, they find it in babies. You know, ladies, if there are any ladies who are listening and you plan on having any more babies, make sure they check your thyroid levels. That could be part of the reason I had the last two miscarriages I had in addition to the progesterone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, make sure they check your thyroid levels when you're pregnant. Make sure they check them after you have your baby, because that's something else. Some people develop thyroid problems after they have their babies. But make sure they check them, because if you don't stay on top of your health, I guarantee you these doctors won't.
That's right. You have to advocate
Unless
for
you
yourself.
Find, I mean,
you have to be your own advocate. Yeah.
That's right. Now, there are some good ones. Don't get me wrong. There's some very good doctors. But you have to find that good one. Because some of them, they're not. It's your health. You have to take your own health into your hands. And that's what I'm learning. Through all of this, because my body's been going all off whack. Okay, look, I'm about to get a phone back to Kenny because I keep on talking. I love y'all. I'm going to let him end the show.
Love you, too.
All right. Hey, last thing I want to say before we get off, there's a difference. We have doctors and then we have specialists. We have doctors that have a myriad of skill, but they normally do, you know, mainly triage work, things of that nature. But when you have a specialist, that means they're specializing in that particular thing. It's one thing. That's why we have ear, nose, and throat specialists. That's why we have podiatrists. That's why we have dentists. They specialize in a certain area. So if you're just not comfortable with what your doctor's telling you and they're telling you to just let it off and you just know deep down inside that something ain't right, then ask them to refer you to a specialist so that way that specialist can do what he or she specializes in and check you out. Because it never hurts to get a second or third opinion. So.
Yeah, I'm going about 7 specialists right now. I'm not lying.
But, hey, y'all, we love y'all. We thank y'all for calling in on tonight. And we look forward to hearing from you all Friday. So y'all have a great evening. God bless you and enjoy the remainder of your week.
You too.
Another great show, babe. Good job.